singing up here. And so that's a blessing. I appreciate them. Appreciate the music. Appreciate the singing. And I appreciate you being here this morning. You know what that tells me? That tells me that you're willing to put aside some things to hear something from the Lord. Amen. And that's good, because people aren't willing anymore. People aren't willing to do what it takes to find out something from God. It takes something. We're a generation, and generations that are coming up are generations of where there have to be. And I don't mean this mean, so don't take it as just the fact. They're spoon fed. And they're not used to having to go out and get their own food and dig for it and go for it and work for it and sweat for it. That's why you can't do week-long revivals anymore. See, used to, even when I was a kid years ago, a revival would go a minimum of a week. And if it was really cooking, that thing would work on for a week, 2 weeks, and sometimes maybe more. I've heard of tent meetings going on for almost a month. And you know what people would do? And listen, people worked back then too. They had jobs. And you know what they'd do? They'd come home and they'd go there. Because you know why? They didn't have to worry about missing their episode of whatever favorite TV show was on. Or they didn't work. It was something that was important to them. And listen, you'll do what's important to you. Now, you can say whatever you want, and you can tell me, and I'll nod my little pointed head at you and go, okay. But you ain't going to fool God. Because God's going to look at you and go, that's not what's in your heart. Quit telling me that out of your mouth, because that ain't the way you feel in your heart, because I'm looking at your heart. Amen. And so I appreciate you being here this morning and putting away the cares of the world for a little while. Amen. I enjoyed, if you don't make Sunday school, try to make Sunday school. Adam's doing a real good job on this thing, and you're missing something. It's up to date. This is not an archaic study. It's up to date. Especially with this, what's going on right now in Israel and Palestine, and dealing with this conflict, is right out of the Bible. That's Bible. That's up to date. It's what's happening. You want to know what's going on in the world? Quit looking at Washington, D.C. Look at Jerusalem and read your Bible. The Lord is coming back. He made a quote. He was quoting a book that he's reading, Beyond the Walls, and a real good book. If you've never read that book, I encourage you to find it and read it. It'll give you some information. I read it some years back, and it is a good book. Amen. I will give you a quote on somebody, another one that was quoted by a guy by the name of Khrushchev, and he quoted, said, "We'll take America and we'll never have to fire a shot. We'll take you and we'll take you from within." And you know how they're going to take us from within? Just like he was explaining this morning. They'll infiltrate the educational system, the political system, and the governmental system as far as local government. And that's why you have college students today that are ignorant and don't have a clue. Listen, are they bad people? No, they're not bad people. They're ignorant. Now, ignorant is a word meaning unlearned. So don't get upset when I use and call someone ignorant. Why? Because we're all ignorant. Listen, if you want me to be able to spell or do anything, I am ignorant. I do not spell well. I don't write well. I'm ignorant on some things. Why? Because I'm just unlearned on it. And I have problems with learning disability on it. But I'm not making excuses. It just is what it is. And quit making excuses about what it is. Amen? If we just admit to what we are, half the time we'd be all right. What? I'm an old sinner saved by grace. That's what I am. And guess what? That's what you are too. Amen? And so we find if you miss Sunday school, man, you're missing some stuff, being able to learn some things about the Bible. People come up to me all the time, "Hey, preacher, I got a question." And most of them would have been answered if they'd have been in Sunday school. Amen. I found this to be true with me in Bible school. I had all kind of questions, man. I always have questions. I'm full of questions. I ain't got no answers, but I'm full of questions. And I would sit there and I'd think, oh, I want to ask this. And I had disciplined myself enough, amen, thankfully, to wait and not interrupt Dr. Ruckman. And you know what? Almost 95% of the time, there's a good 5% that it didn't, but 95% of the time he would answer the question that I had in my head if I just did wait and listen. Because what I would do is if I interrupted, I would take up time and then the class would end before he could do what he needed to do. So sometimes it's good just to sit and listen. Be in Sunday school, be in church and listen. All right, take your Bible this morning. That's not an introduction, that was free. Go over to Judges chapter 7. I want to get you a message this morning on how God wins victories. We want to look how God does victories. You know, when we do victories, especially in this day and time, it's so funny. Because if you watch your ball teams, how they do a victory when one of them makes a touchdown. They spike the ball, then they go doing the funky chicken. Like they've done something. Like they by themselves have just wiped out the whole thing, you know. And it's funny how that is because that's the way we look. When we look at victories, man, we really puff ourselves up. But if you'll notice, I want to show you how God wins victories and how God does it in such subtle ways that it's humorous. It really is. If you think about it, you're thinking, man, he's not even trying to show off. If God really wanted to show off, he could. Amen. Notice with me here, notice in Judges chapter 7, we'll pick it up in verse 13. Now this is dealing with Gideon. Now if you're a Bible reader, and I hope you are, I hope you take time to read your Bible. This is a great story, a great illustration of how God takes something and he brings forth a victory. Amen. Now here in verse 13 it says, when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream to his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread. Let's see, is that right? Yeah. Genesis, Judges 17, yeah, 13 through 21, yeah. Let's see. Dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, an empty pitcher, and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. Then when I blow a trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. Let's pray. Father, we do ask you that you bless now, bless this message, bless your people. Father, bless this day for your sake. And Lord, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will get the honor and the glory. Amen. Now, I want you to see here, the Lord takes and he takes a company of men, or a company, three companies of men, 300 men. And all he's got them doing is he's got them blowing a horn and breaking a pitcher and then holding a lamp up. That's all he did. And you know what? God takes a broken thing and he'll get a victory out of it. That's what he does. He takes a broken thing, and I'm going to show you here this morning how God will take a broken thing and get a victory. Now listen, if God can take a broken pitcher and a little light inside and gain a victory, tell me, my friend, what could God do with you, with your broken life, if you would break and humble yourself before him and allow yourself to be used like a lamp and be used yourself like a trumpet to sound a noise for him, what kind of victory God could get with us today. Amen. Listen, he separated the men and he put them in companies and he put one here, one there. You know what? Everybody's not supposed to be together. We're supposed to be in our place. You say, I don't know where my place is. Then that is for you to pray and ask God what he would have you to do and where you need to be. Listen, you may be here this morning and God is burdening your heart to do something and you need to do it. Amen. Why? So that he can take your broken life, your broken spirit, your humbleness and gain him a victory. Now notice I want to show you something. Look with me over in Mark and I'll show you the New Testament. And we're going to look at a few of these. We'll start off here in Mark. We're going to start with a broken box. Now here's a broken thing. Now notice with me in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Notice with me in verse 3. And we'll start reading there. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whithersoever ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. So we find here that God has taken a broken box and a little broken woman, and you know what? He brings a victory over some things. That thing, yeah, we understand that the naysayers, those that would stand up against doing anything for good said, would go, that costs too much. We don't need to do that. That's too expensive. If we do that, we won't be able to accomplish anything. In other words, the things of God, people will put the price on. Listen, you can't put a price on the things that belong to God. Some things aren't going to cost you a lot, but some things are going to cost you some of your money. Amen? And if you get stingy with your money, then you're not going to have a victory. And listen, had she had taken that spikenard, listen, she had that box. It was quite a large sum for her, probably well over a year's wage. And she had that thing, and that box is sealed. The only way you can open this box is to break it. It is a sealed box. Once it is broken, it is open. It no longer can be put back in. Listen, you're going to have come to a point in your life where God's going to put you at a spot where you're going to be like that box. And God says, listen, before we can go any further, you and I, you're going to have to let me break you. And that's where you're going to have to make the decision. You can, in indignation, go, no, I'm too valuable for that. You're not doing me that way. I don't want to be broken. Or you're going to set yourself there and you'll say, Lord, if that brings you glory and honor, break me. Because that way I can bring you glory. But listen, you're going to have to make that decision.
Because God gets victory in broken things. It's broken things. That box had to be broken. Why? So that Christ could show them that, listen, this thing was for my burial. This is for my death. This is for what I've come to do. And unless you put yourself in a position to where you can be broken, God's not going to be able to gain a victory in your life. Why? Because God takes broken things. It was costly, it was criticized, and it was condemned. But God took it and wrought it for a victory for her. You know what it says on there? It says, she hath done what she could. That's her memorial. She hath done what she could. I know that there's, I can't remember who the famous lady is. I want to think it's Fanny Crosby, but I'm not sure. On their tombstone it says, she hath done what she could. You know what? That would be a good thing to be able to put on a tombstone for you to be able to say about you, I've done what I could. Because that's a good question. Have you done what you could? Amen. Listen, God wants to bring a victory, and he does it through broken things. Now notice with me over in Matthew chapter 14. Now there's a couple of illustrations we could use on this one, but I'm going to use this one here. And I'm sure if you sit here, you probably could think of a few more. But that's fine. I want to show you a broken bread. See, when the Lord shows up, when he sits down with the disciples, it always shows where he prays and he broke the bread. Listen, you've got to break some things. You know what? To get to feed yourself, you're going to have to break some habits. What's that? That's keeping you from reading your Bible. You need to break some habits, broken things. You know what you need to do? You may need to take some time away from your job. You need to break away to where you can get along with God. Why? Because God will use broken things. Notice with me here in Matthew chapter 14. And he says here, and starting in verse 16, it says, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Listen, I want to tell you that when you finally allow God to break you, you'll start being able to be used to the multitude. In other words, God's going to be able to take you from this place and put you out there to where you can start doing something. Amen. And you know what? You'll want to. You know what he did? He gave that stuff. He broke it. He put it and he gave it to the disciples. He said, now go out and feed the multitude. I've broken it. Now go feed them. And you know what the disciples did? They did. That's what they went out. And you know what? I guarantee you, as they went, they got more excited and more excited. Could you imagine having a basket full of that food? And man, you're sitting there and you got that basket and you get a piece. And this thing never empties, man. And you're just looking at that basket, and you're looking around, you're looking back at the Lord up there on the hill, and you're looking around. And the farther you go, the more excited you get. You're going, glory to God, this thing ain't never going to run out. And I'm talking 5,000 men. That's not counting the ladies and the kids. That's just 5,000 men. Brother, I'm going to tell you, you can get excited if you'll let God break you. In other words, when I stop trying to do what I think I ought to be doing and start yielding myself to him, when I put aside whatever I've got blocking me, whatever frustration or I think I've been done wrong or whatever it is, I haven't been treated right or I haven't been this or I deserve more, whatever. Well, you know what? When we start putting those things aside and allow God to break us like that alabaster box or break us like that bread and let us be put out for the multitude, some joy. You'll get some real joy then. Joy that far exceeds the physical. Because I promise you, friend, you know as well as I do in this life, the older you get, there's not a lot of physical joy. It's just aches and pains and aggravations and everything you look at, you just get mad. I turn on the TV and look at the government, I get mad.
If I watch somebody doing something, they ain't doing it like they ought to do it, you know, and you know it ain't right, you just get mad. You just go and you say, get out of the way, I'll do it myself. You know what? That's the physical. That's the way it is. And we just got to realize that that's the way life is. And unless we allow ourselves to be broken and to go past that physical so that we can get some spiritual blessings, brother, we're just going to walk around like a bunch of old sourpuss Baptists for the rest of our life till the Lord calls us home. Amen. Listen, that God wants to get a victory in everybody's life. God wants to use everybody. The Bible says that God was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If that is true, then the same premise applies that God wants to wrought a victory in everybody's life. He wants to use everyone, regardless of their age, whether they're male or female, whether they're young or old. God wants to have, he's looking for things that were willing to be broken so that he can wrought a victory. Amen. God wins victories through broken things. He took his son and broke him on a cross. Amen. For you and I. He won a victory. The Lord himself said, it is finished. Amen. But we got to understand that it's going to have to take some break. And listen, I'm not going to say that breaking something isn't painful. Can you imagine that woman breaking over a year's worth of wages and pouring it out on his head? Now, I know she did it. She accomplished it. But you have to think in her head, I'm going to be eating a lot of rice and beans for a while. Ain't going to be no more steak. You got to count the cost, brother. She counted the cost before she broke that box. Because that's a costly investment. She said, I'm willing. If it'll bring honor to him, I'm willing. Listen, I tell you, he broke the bread. A type and a symbol, of course, of his broken body. I'll tell you another one. Look over in Matthew here. This one we'll all be able to relate to. Here God takes a broken vow and he gets a victory. My favorite fellow that I probably relate to more than anybody, old Peter. Peter, notice with me in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, note verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, this is the Lord himself speaking. Now the Lord's speaking. You'd think that would have an impact. All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered. Now how many times has your prideful self answered? Before you stopped and thought about what the Lord just said. I know what you just preached, preacher, and I understand what's in that Bible, but. Yeah, Peter, but what? Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. You know what? Lord predicted him. He said, Peter, tonight you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows twice. Thrice. And you know what? It happened. And you know what? Peter was offended. But I want to tell you that Peter was broken. Notice what he says. You go on down there and he says, and Peter, he went away. They're down there in the garden. Verse 42, 43. Notice all the way over into verse 75, right at the end of the chapter. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and he wept bitterly. You know what Peter was? He was broken. He was a broken fella. Why?
How many times has the Lord said something and you said, no, I won't do that, Lord. I promise you. I may do a lot of things, but I ain't going to do that. And then you turn right around and do what he told you he didn't want you to do, and you did it anyway. I hope it brought a tear to your eye. I hope it smote your heart, because that's good. You need to be broken over those things. How many times do we do that? I don't know about you, but I know that I have done it several times through my life. I'm going, okay, Lord, if we get this, I'm going to do this. And when it come time to do that, I was like, I started reneging. I'm like, I don't know, I don't want to do that. I changed my mind. And you know what God do? God will break your heart over it. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you listen, over to Ecclesiastes, I believe it's in chapter 3, somewhere in there it says, when you make a vow unto God, best you don't make that vow than vow it and not keep it. Amen? See, Peter made a vow. He said, all men gonna forsake you. I'll never will. And he turns around and does it. You know what? That's a broken vow. Over in Ecclesiastes 5:4 is where that verse is at. And he says he makes that vow. Then you go around over there to where John is, and he's gone back. Listen, we won't have time to turn there, but he goes back to the world, and he goes back to fishing. And he got so far away from God that he didn't even recognize him anymore. John, the beloved, had to say, hey, it's the Lord. Had to point him out and remind him who he was. That's how far, fast, and quick Peter fell. Listen, you think you can't get back in the world like that quick, friend? I'm telling you, you can be back there so quick it'll make your head spin, because Peter wasn't far removed from that night where he wept bitterly to when he was out there fishing and didn't even recognize Jesus. Amen. Then, of course, he comes back up there on the shore. The Lord has food there. God always has provision even for the backslidden. God always have provision for your sorry behind and mine. That when we do him wrong and we don't love him like we ought to, and we don't obey him like he ought to, instead of smacking us side the head like he ought to, you know what he does? He has provision there for us. He has food for us. And he says, come and eat. And the whole time there, he never jumps on Peter. All he ever asked Peter, he said, do you love me? That's what he's going to ask you. See, he's looking for something broken. But you got to break yourself. You got to allow yourself to be broken. And he's going to ask you, do you love me? Do you? Well, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Then Peter, feed my sheep. Now, he may say something else to you, not say feed sheep. He may say, then do what I ask you to do. And you fill in that blank. But for God to get a victory in you, you're going to have to break yourself. You're going to have to allow yourself to be broken. Peter made a broken vow, or vow, and he broke it. But God got the victory. He goes on and he uses Peter to preach the gospel, and thousands get saved. Peter comes back to the point that when Peter is at the point of death, according to tradition, Peter's at the point of death and they're going to crucify him. He goes, don't crucify me that way. I'm not worthy. Just crucify me upside down. Why? Because the dog that I am. Why? Because I denied him when he went to the cross. I don't deserve to be crucified the way he was. What? God got a victory in Peter. I'll tell you another one. Look over in Psalms chapter 124. Psalms 124. Psalms 124. Bible says here, talking about a broken snare. He's talking about our soul is escaped as a bird out of a snare of the fowlers. A snare is broken and we are escaped. You know what God will use? He'll use a broken snare. In other words, you get out of the snare of the devil. You know, the devil wants to do, he wants to ensnare you. And you know what God will do? He'll break the snare. Why? So that you can escape. So that you can get away. Why? So that God can reap a glory and a victory in you. He'll break the snare of the devil. Listen, a lot of times, you know what we're doing? We're just like dumb birds. I tell you, the dumbest bird I've ever seen is a guinea hen. That is the stupidest bird. It's like a dodo. It ought to be extinct. They'll be, these people, every year, they'll buy these guinea hens. I see them all over. And within a month, I see them same guinea hens. They're all splattered over the road. Somebody's run, they get in the road and they get run over. They get in the road. They don't last no time. So stupid. They're dumber than a chicken. They, at least a chicken, if a rooster starts getting upset, they'll run for cover knowing it's a hawk. A guinea hen will just stand there. If he had a finger, he'd have it up his nose. That's how dumb that bird is. And you know what? A lot of times we're walking and going through life, and because we're not reading our Bible, because we're not praying, we're not active in church, we're not coming to Sunday school, we're not growing, we're not doing anything, we're not allowing God to use us in any kind of way. We're just like a dumb guinea hen. And the devil's just throwing snares. And some of you are going to get caught in a snare. You better be praying God will break snares. God, keep me out of the snare. I know I'm... You know what? The first thing we need to realize is that we're stupid. Kids, do not repeat that word. Your mom and dad will get bone, okay? But just the plain fact is that's what we are sometimes. We are. We'll get that way. And listen, we'll do it and man, just walk right into it. Just as dumb as a guinea hen. And I thank God that He'll break snares and allow us to escape, to get away, so that one more time, maybe we'll come back around and go, thank you, Lord. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Please use me. I just want to submit to you. But a lot of times we're like a guinea hen and we just go on. You know, when we recognize God, I'll tell you when, it's a shame. It's a shame. But when we recognize God is when we are physically beat down to the point that we ain't got any way else to look but up. Why do we let ourselves get there? Now listen, I've already said that we're in this flesh. We're going to get there. But why speed up the process? Why mess yourself up? Listen, God will use a broken snare to try to help you to win some victories. He needs those. I'll tell you another one. I'll look at this one. Look over in 2 Samuel 18. I'll tell you what God will use to get a victory, is a broken heart. Now here again, see, you don't want to get to this position. But you know what David had to do? David went through and had to have a broken heart. Notice with me in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 18. Second Samuel 18 and verse 33. Now this is dealing with his son Absalom. Now we could use the baby. You could use that one. David had such, you know, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. But David sure had a lousy family life. You ever notice that? His kids were messed up. Here, Absalom. You know, Absalom goes over there and he kills this guy because of Tamar. Then he runs. David doesn't make it right with him. David never tries to reach out and reconcile with his son and try to make it right and find out what even went on. David ignores it. And you know what it does? It causes this whole festering. And now his son, Absalom, whom he loved, but now has become a rebellion and probably one of the best types of the Antichrist you'll ever see, and turns into that. Whose fault is that?
David shares the blame in there. See how we do? Instead of facing the sin in our life, instead of confessing it and say, look, I've got to make some changes in my home. I got to make some changes with my kid. I got to do something. We'll ignore it and go, well, I'll just pray about it. Well, okay, that's good. But if you him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. So do it. Make sure you make the changes. The things that you know to do right. Do them. Why? Because if not, you know what the devil will do? He'll kill you just like he had Absalom killed. Why? So he could get at David. Notice what it says in the king, verse 33, and the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he wept, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would to God I had died for thee. You know what? He recognized something way too late. It's too late. Would to God, every parent in here would die for their children. He waited way too late to start making those claims. All he ended up with was in sin and a broken heart. David started off so good, and he was a good king. And I know he loved God. You could see it. But he sure wasn't no better than the rest of us. Son, he messed up everywhere he turned. But I'll tell you what, you know what God's doing? He was able to take David's broken heart and still guide and use David. What I'm trying to tell you on this one is listen, you may have a broken heart. You may have mistakes in your life. You may have mistakes in your family, and you're going, God will never use me. God will never use me. God will never use me. God will use you. You say, but my kids, they're not even in church. They were raised in church, and that man, they're just everywhere. They're scattered to, fro, and yon. God will still use you. But you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've said. You don't know where I've been. You don't know the things that I've done. God will still use you. Why? Because he's looking for a broken and contrite heart that wants to repent and serve him. You know what made David so great? Is he understood that when he did something wrong, he would repent and get it right. You want to know what you need to do? Listen, child of God, here's what you need to do. You need to repent of it and get it right. Broken heart, man. I'll tell you another one. Look over in John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Now, this is an illustration, but this is Jesus Christ on the cross. Notice in verse 33 it says, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, because the Bible says that none of his bones were broken. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out their blood and water. Now, one of the things a lot of people will say is that Christ died of a broken heart. And I believe to a point that might be true. To a point. You could make, because he was heartbroken over his people. There's a time over there where he's in Matthew and he sees Jerusalem and he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, as a hen I would have gathered you, you know, as a mother would gather her chicks, you know, a hen. And he calls out and he weeps over them. So I know that the Lord gave up the ghost. He died of his own accord as a sacrifice. But I could believe that there's probably some heartache in that as well. And there's a heartache that the Lord has for people. Listen, God uses and gains a victory in broken things. I'll tell you the last one here. Go over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, notice with me in verse 13. Here's a couple of guys, and they're walking on a road to Emmaus. The Lord has been crucified. They put him in the grave, and man, they've all scattered. They're hiding, man. They're just
my generation has said, man, they're just bummed out. And so there's these two guys, and they're walking to this other town. And they're beat down, they're downtrodden, man, they're just walking along. And the Lord shows up, starts walking with them. Now notice here, he says, and they rose up in the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Nope, back up here. Yeah, and it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Thank you, sister. See, there's somebody who reads their Bible. But their eyes were holding, and they should not know him. So the Lord comes up, and they don't know who he is. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? In other words, they're sad, man. The Lord's dead. Man, what are we going to do? Jesus is dead, man. Could you imagine today if somebody said, listen, Jesus ain't coming back? You'd be pretty bummed out. If you believed him, man, you'd be like, what do you mean he ain't coming back? I mean, I've been living this whole life for nothing? What do you mean? And they were sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Now you think about the emphasis and the emotion they were putting into that. You know, kind of like a lot of Baptists put in about Trump being mistreated. How is it we can get emotional over Trump? And he said, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides, all this today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and a certain of all, a woman also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. These guys are confused. They don't know what to believe. They're just, man, they're just all in disarray. And a certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so, as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Now notice, he made like he was just going to walk on. And they constrained him. When was the last time that you constrained Christ? Say, Lord, don't leave. I got such a sweet spirit, Lord. Please don't leave me. Stay with me and have supper with me, Lord. We don't do that. You know what we do? We do our little 30-minute Bible reading, if we do that, and we go, okay, Lord, I'm done. Goodbye. See you. Stop by tomorrow. God can't get a victory that way. You know what he needs? He needs somebody that's really wanting to break the gloom. Somebody that he can take and cheer up their life. You know what them guys wanted? They wanted somebody to cheer their life up. They were sad. They were in gloom. And you know what Christ did? Christ was cheering them up. And you know what they said? Don't leave. Come on, man. I'll buy your dinner. Please, just sit with us for a while. I want to hear you talk more about him. I want to hear more about Jesus. I want to hear more about his name. I love to even say his name. Just tell me more what you know. Christians today don't want that. Hurry up, preacher. We got to go. We got to get going, preacher. It's getting late. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Okay, preacher, we love Jesus. Let's go. You know what God will do? He'll get a victory in broken things, in broken gloom, if you'll let him. Listen, there's not one of us sitting here at some point in our life, even right now, some area of our life that is not gloomy, that we couldn't let Jesus in and cheer it up and brighten that corner so that put a smile. You know what? Rejuvenate us so that we can be a victory for him. What about it? Well, stand with me. We'll get a song. We'll just give a hymn of invitation if you need to come. Maybe you need to talk to the Lord about something. Maybe you need to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to be broken. Lord, I haven't treated you right. Lord, I apologize. Whatever it is, you come. We'll just give a quick couple of hymns here, a couple of verses. We're not going to make it long. I'll let you go, I promise. But if somebody here wants to do some business with the Lord, if somebody here wants to allow the Lord to do something with them to get a victory, I want to give them the opportunity. Amen.